Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Barabas and Pete Blackburn.
What's up, and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 55. The Jeff Supon episode presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your American League East champion, Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Pete Blackburn, and he's 5 foot tall, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, Section 10 in the building?
In the motherfucking building, down 2-0 against the team that I said the Red Sox were going to fucking steamroll. Here we are, down 0-2. The season comes down to Cladro in game 3. What a fucking plot twist we have here in front of us today.
This is the greatest thing that could ever happen to this podcast. We spent months talking about the number 3 starter and just the overall value of Clay Buchholz and his importance to this team in the playoffs. And what do you know? It's all on his shoulders.
Hold on. Let's lay out the scenario. It's Sunday night. Game 3 was supposed to be 4:30 today. It got rained out, which is a good thing and a bad thing. We'll talk about both. But to continue to lay out the scene here, Clay Buchholz is still getting the ball in Game 3. The Red Sox had the option of bringing back Pretty Ricky in Game 3 on Monday. They are not taking that option. They are sticking with Cladro in Game 3.
That's how good he is. Saying,
fuck it. If you want to get nuts, let's get nuts. You gave us the out to go with Pretty Ricky on short rest, and we're sticking with Cladro on full rest. Your thoughts?
Love it. This works out perfectly, right? You get Clay tomorrow or Monday. Who knows when you're listening to this? And then you get Pretty Ricky in Game 4. And then anybody's available in Game 5. Jared, you might even pitch in Game 5.
I said this on a previous episode. This is the greatest scenario for Clay Buchholz and Red Sox fans regarding Clay Buchholz. It's like if he gums out and he gets shelled in Game 3, then you kill him. He's dead to you. You move on. And then if he fucking wins, he's a hero.
He's the hero. He's the hero we need. I think it's going to be one of those starts where we leave going, fucking making little noises. Like, I don't think it's going to be anything where we're like, oh, yeah. I think it's going to be more like,
We got a decent outing out of him.
If he goes like 6 2/3, but gives up 4 runs and the Red Sox win 6-4, it's like,
Yeah. And he's like,
kept him in it.
I'll pick up his option.
Why not? Fuck it. Could have been worse.
He has to shave his head. Is that the deal?
Oh, no. So it was a quality start. If he has 7 or more shutout innings, then I'll shave my head.
No, that wasn't the deal. It was a quality start.
It wasn't a quality start. If he gives up 3
or quality start in the playoffs, that was the deal.
No, I think we're talking dominant start in the playoffs. A quality start. I'm not shaving my head.
I would not bet on Clay Buchholz to make a dominant start in a playoff game.
You're not risking anything.
I said that I would bleach my hair. Speaking of not doing your job, how about that Red Sox offense?
How about it?
Transition.
How about that transition is what I'm talking about.
That's next level shit.
I've seen a bunch of transitions in my life, but out of all the transitions I have ever heard, that is by far the greatest.
Let me tell you right now.
I'll tell you right now. I'm not even going to fucking wait about it. So this Red Sox offense, let's talk about it. Because after 2 games, you're basically Andrew Benintendi, Brock Holt, and Sandy Leon have been the only guys that have showed up for you. And I got some numbers to back it up.
I didn't see game two, but I'm assuming that they were worse in game two than they were in game one.
Substantially. I think they got they had like three hits in game two. And I'm gonna put Hanley in there. I said Sandy Holt and Benintendi because they all hit solo home runs in game one, but Hanley had a couple doubles, so he belongs in that category of guys that have actually showed up. In game two, nobody showed up. Nobody. Corey Kluber came in and did his thing. I was wrong. I mean, not really. I wasn't wrong because I was told that this fucking guy's hurt. So of course I'm going to bet against him. If you tell me that this guy's hurt and he hasn't pitched in like almost 2 weeks, you're going to bet against that guy. You're using the information that you have to make a informed assessment of what you think is going to happen. So here, before we get into the offense,
what did El Pres say about Kluber? Cause you guys were on separate pages there, weren't you?
Yeah. This is what I said to Dave. I said to, and he was right about Kluber, but I said, Dave, you were right about Kluber because you knew nothing at all. And I almost knew too much because I knew that he's
all spin zone.
It's true. I mean, he basically just guessed. Like, he was trying to come off as this fucking baseball expert that knows about Corey Kluber. What are the odds that Prez knew who Kluber was before we got to Cleveland? Not good.
That's like the fantasy owner that ends up in the championship.
Right, wrong.
He was right and I was wrong. But I don't think that if it wasn't for me telling him that Kluber was hurt and hadn't pitched in 10 or 11 days, he wouldn't have known that.
Honestly, I bet he's basing it off the Cy Young he won. He's just like, yeah, he's Corey Kluber. Like, of course, like, he's a stud. Of course he's going to go 80. He's basing it nothing on recent events.
And I used, logic and reason in my decision, which was he's hurt, hasn't pitched in almost 2 weeks. Faced the Red Sox back in April and they fucking tattooed the guy. So those are the factors that I was going with. So here's the thing, because I wanted to talk about the offense, but I wanted to make this point really quick. Here's why I hate the postseason as a fucking quote unquote analyst, is because during the course of the season, I'm a watch, read, react guy. When the games happen, I can write about them and analyze them, do all kinds of shit. But when it comes postseason time, you have readers and listeners who judge you on your baseball knowledge ability to be able to predict the fucking future. So I'm out here saying, all right, the Indians lost two out of three of their best starters, and their third starter who actually can pitch is hurt and hasn't pitched in a while, and the Red Sox see him well. So I'm like, yeah, of course they have no chance. That's why I use logic behind my everyone's like, oh yeah, you're a fanboy. You're just picking the Red Sox because you're a Red Sox fan. If Carrasco, Salazar, and Kluber were all healthy going against the Red Sox in the series, I would have picked the Indians in probably four games.
But who is picking the Indians to counter this? Like, who's going against what
nobody.
You were saying?
Nobody.
Yeah, so it wasn't a crazy belief to think they would sweep.
It's because nobody else would put their balls on the line and actually give a prediction.
I saw some of the writers were doing it. And obviously, some of the personalities too. I know Mutt, and Mutt's our boy. But I think Bradfo, there were a couple other guys out there that said Sox in three.
I thought the Sox were going to handle them, but I also said that Cleveland, I didn't like the matchup against Cleveland as much as I would have liked a matchup against the Rangers.
Also, you never want to go into the series being that heavily favored. Everyone was saying Sox, Sox, Sox. You don't really want that. You kind of want a little bit of a mix. And the whole Tito thing was kind of hanging over this series and is hanging over the series. So I don't know.
I also think people overlooked home field advantage.
Oh, big time.
More than they should have.
I didn't. I was all on board the home field train. I was like, why the fuck? I was all saying, I'm fine with resting the lineup, the starters, the day after the celebration. But after that, it's back on the horse. It's play for home field. Your OPS is 100 points higher at home than it is on the road. It's a short series. It can get out of hand really quick, which we're finding out right now.
I mean, Farrell,
two games in. But you haven't even played a game at home yet, and you're already playing an elimination game.
That's the stupidest thing in baseball. I know we talked about this last week, but that's the stupidest thing in baseball. You don't even come home and you're already fighting for your playoff lives.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Not great.
Obviously, this would be a bad start for a 7-game series, but you'd be coming home and you're not with your back up against the wall, and like one win in game three, it's a whole different series. Yeah. I don't feel like it's a whole different series if you win game three tomorrow. It's still, you're still fighting for your life. It's a fucking, it's a crapshoot. It's all, I mean, it's obviously not over with the three game series, or yeah, I guess it's a three game series now. But it's obviously not over. Like, you can still come back from down 2-0. We've seen it, but God, that's so stupid after a 162 game season to lose two on the road and then have to come back.
I think we've also seen that game three can be the hardest one to win when you're down 2-0. I think the Red Sox in the past have had to grind, and, you know, against the A's, they probably shouldn't have won that game, the trot walk off. I remember Burns had some stupid play at the plate, but game three can be the hardest one to win. And that's why it's like, you got Clay on the mound in the hardest game to win.
And I also don't know how I feel about this team's like mental toughness either.
It doesn't look great.
Yeah. Is anybody really confident about that at this point?
So here's
the most important thing when you're in an elimination game, pretty much, is,
and like, Hanley's
mental toughness in preparation.
Hanley's like the most confident guy, which that's a mind fuck.
But he's been hitting. He can.
I know. Hanley is doing every single thing that I said he wouldn't do. Like, he's hitting in the postseason. He's got that confidence he would have in spring training is still there now. He's vocal about it. That tweet he had where he's like, "Let's effing go, Red Sox Nation." Yeah. He is so likable right now, and you're not seeing that from the other guys.
He's Mr. Red Sox right now.
Yeah,
he is Mr. Red Sox right now, and I think that's fantastic. But back to the offense. We'll talk about the starters in a second, but I think the fact that you sent out a Cy Young favorite in game one and your $217 million ace in game two, and they got their shit rocked, I think it's kind of masking the fact that you have David Ortiz, Dustin Pedroia, Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr., Xander Bogaerts combined are hitting 111 with a 367 OPS. Not an on-base percentage, not a slugging percentage, OPS. That is fucking terrible. And they're striking 37.5% of those at-bats.
How lost does Xander look? He looks so lost. I haven't seen him look this bad. No, but Xander specifically, he's check swinging at stuff that's way in the dirt. I mean, they were doing that all game one. That was so
game one, that was like the worst thing that I've ever seen. I've never seen a team swing at so many pitches in the dirt.
We were pointing down to first every single pitch. Like, did he go? Yeah, he went. It was terrible.
Mookie looks very lost. Mookie has taken some defensive swings, almost like, you know, I have no confidence in my ability to hit the ball right now, but I'm just going to try and fight one off just so I don't strike out. Like, I saw that from Mookie in game two. Jackie Bradley can't hit for shit right now. David Ortiz had that double in game one, but other than that, strikeouts and pop-ups galore, which is weird to criticize David Ortiz in the postseason.
No, I know, but it's in big spots too. Guys on base, and he's popping out on the first pitch.
It's a thing. Dustin Pedroia made the last out in game one on a check swing that I thought he held up on when I was at the ballpark, saw the replay after, and he definitely went, but I wasn't going to tweet that. So again, you got some guys in that Red Sox line. Again, David Price, so disappointing in game two, so disappointing, but again, and I made this point in the blog, he could have went nine innings and given up one run and still lost that game. He didn't. He deserves 95% of the blame for that loss because he was terrible. Did not even give his team a chance in that start. But let's not lose sight of the fact that this Red Sox offense has been piss poor. It's Hanley, Brock Holt, and that's about it. That's really been about it. I know Benintendi hit a home run in game one. Same thing with Sandy, but the rest of their bats haven't been that great. Sandy Leone, he hit that home run. He's been fucking garbage in every other at bat, and it's weird to kind of, I guess, talk about their performances in the series because it's only been two games. Like, I think that would be wild if we did that during the regular season and been
oh, they looked fucking terrible and the series isn't even over. Like, a three game series isn't even over,
right? But I mean, it's a five game series. It could be a minimum of three games here. So I think you have to look at the real problem, and that would be the offense. It would be, you know, even in the game where they scored, what, four runs? They lost 5-4 in game one?
Yeah.
So even in the game where they put some runs on the board, you really haven't heard any noise from the guys that you would expect to hear some noise from.
Right. And that was their calling card all season, was the fucking offense.
Right.
Heading into game three, what do you feel more confident about? Is getting a solid start out of Clay Buchholz or getting a fucking on par performance from the offense?
It's got to be the offense
from the regular season.
So coming back home, I'm looking at, you know, the change of scenery. I'm looking at the rain out. The Red Sox play better at home. They do. Every team plays better at home, but the Red Sox are a team that plays significantly better at home. And then the rain out makes it so that you can bring Porcello back in game four. So the question is, does the rain out help the Red Sox more or does it help the Indians more? I think it helps the Red Sox more because, again, we were talking about Porcello game one, Price game two, Cleydro game three, and then Eddie Rodriguez in game four. Now you have that extra day so that you can go Porcello in game four. Don't know how I feel.
Assuming that there's a game four.
Well,
you could, in theory, Porcello could come in Monday night, right?
I'm not burning Porcello in game three.
I'm just saying it's an elimination game. There's no game four if you're not winning game three. So I don't know if Farrell's thought about that or
what's the point of emptying the tank in game three if you
because you have to win.
Yeah, sure, but you also have to win game four and game five.
No, I know, but you got to get to those games.
Three games, not one game.
Yeah, you got to get to those games.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the point of emptying the tank in game three if you're not going to give yourself a chance to win game four?
Because to get to game four, that's the point.
But you can't do that. if you see Rick Porcello in game three, it's because it's in like the fucking 12th inning.
The 12th, yeah. No, I don't think they. I don't think they would. But it's basically all hands on deck here moving forward. And with the rain, it helps with Erod because now he could be another long arm out of the pen.
Yeah, and Pomeranz too. He looked okay. In
he
game
was good.
One.
He was
yeah.
good. I kind of like. I was already ripping on him, but he was good. That run wasn't even his. So good. It was a good outing.
Yeah. So I'll take the guys behind. Cleydro in game three. I don't mind seeing Rodriguez out of the pen for a little bit. I don't mind seeing Pomeranz, but if it's pretty Ricky, I don't like your odds in game four because who the fuck is going to start that game?
I mean, again, that's all hands on deck. I might start it.
All hands on deck in game five then too, or it would be David Price.
Yeah. And
again, how do you feel about David Price going back to Cleveland?
Wait, so you wouldn't see any scenario where Porcello pitches game three and then just have Erod start game four?
No. No, they've already committed to Cleydro in game three. That's a thing. It's happening.
No, I'm saying if Porcello came in game three and then you started Erod in game four. This is basically irrelevant.
No, it's not irrelevant. That could very well happen.
Yeah.
If you have that game going to extra innings, it is. I guess you could see Porcello in a game three scenario.
Would just be nice if we just need one of those games where they come out guns a-blazing, kind of like game one of the 13 World Series. That was done in like the third inning. If you could just have a comfortable game, your mindset completely flips. The pressure is now on the Indians if you can, sneak out game four. So we'll see. I mean,
Let's win game three first.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I think this is the hardest one to win of the three, as weird as that sounds.
The Section 10 Podcast is brought to you by Sox Signatures. Sox Signatures is the leader in autographs and game-used memorabilia of tomorrow's Boston baseball stars. Visit SoxSignatures.com today for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell to Boston. Mm. Use promo code Section 10 to get 10% off of your first order at Sox Signatures.
.com. So how was the experience in Cleveland?
Terrible.
Jared Karavis.
Terrible. I told you guys a story in the last episode about how Dave asked me if I wanted to go. I politely declined, and then he went from asking me to telling me that I was going. So next thing you know, I get a fucking email with my flight ticket and all my hotel information. You know, it was nice. I flew first class front row on the plane, which was, Davy Page Views really outdid himself, had my own hotel room. It was a nice one. So nice blogging atmosphere in Cleveland.
Ladies.
Nice blogging atmosphere in Cleveland, Ohio. Game one.
Check out the Tinder scene in Cleveland.
No. No, I really didn't. I
just walked into the bar and that's all I had to do.
Didn't even go out.
Probably a smart decision. Probably wouldn't have been a lot of great options in Cleveland Tinder.
Apparently not. So I ran into on the way home. When I landed in Logan, I ran into Mike Napoli's brother, Joey. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, how are you like in Cleveland? I was like, it's pretty rough, huh? And he was like, honestly, dude, no. He's like, there's tons of hot girls. And I was like, what? I was like, where the fuck were they? Because, like, I only saw a bunch of dudes. But, yeah, that our tailgate was all, like, Cleveland Indians fans, a couple homeless dudes, and, like, three 80-year-old women.
So you usually don't drink when you go to the ballpark.
Yeah.
And there was a big drinking scene. I saw you with a beer in your hand at a couple points. How much did you drink during the game?
I asked Feidelberg to get me an iced tea. He came back with a lemonade, which was great. I appreciate it. But then Gaz came back with like a fucking 100-ounce beer can.
I saw those gigantic beers. Those are insane. Huge.
Yeah, it was basically like it had to have been a foot and a half long. It's something close to that.
It's like the beer that the guy threw at fucking Kim.
It was bigger than that. Like it was like 2 4 Locos stacked on top of each other. Like, it was a fucking big ass beer. I dabbled. I didn't like get drunk or anything. I just had a few beers and enjoyed myself. I mean, I usually don't drink at the games because like I'm working. But if you're with your boss and he lets you drink, then you're gonna drink beer.
With Prez, is he intentionally doing the name thing wrong? Is that just like one of his things now that he intentionally says stuff wrong with cannabis and all that?
I don't know. If I had to bet on it, he's not doing it on purpose.
He's just getting it wrong every time.
Getting it wrong every time. Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I mean, by now he's been corrected so many times that he has to know that the way he says it is wrong. But
a couple of times he did say it, he corrected himself like immediately afterwards. So I think he he's just trained himself to say it the wrong way. And then sometimes he realizes it and immediately corrects himself.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, even when the cameras are not rolling, he still calls me Carabas.
I was very excited to watch that post game and how it happened too, because each time it got progressively worse. And Feist was like Carabas, it's Carabas. And then your reaction at the end was perfect. I'm like, all right, I have to make some kind of mashup out of this. This was great.
Yeah, I just gave up. I mean, at some point, you just have to give up and say, he's never going to pronounce it correctly. I give up. You win. I will just let you say whatever you want. Like, you can call me whatever you want. Like, I was about to be just fucking call me Jared. Call me Jared.
Like, Jared? Yeah, he's going to mess that up somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a thing now, for better or for worse. Because I blogged it. You made the video, Steve. I blogged it. And now, like, the commenters who don't like me will spell it out the way that Dave pronounces it, so that they know that they're also intentionally pronouncing it wrong. So it's a thing now. It is what it is. But shouts to everyone who actually knows how to say it and says it correctly. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or shorty that you want to go to. And none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and they've created an amazing app and a website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place that we go to look for tickets to a game or a concert when Dave isn't giving them to Jared for free. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparisons for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save all the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To do that, you go download the SeatGeek app, you go to the settings tab, you click add a promo code, enter promo code section10, all one word, section 10. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code section10 today.
Big coupon, bitch.
Yeah. So the seats weren't terrible. We had pretty good seats. Dave took care of us. Yep. I will say that. Dave took care of us in Cleveland. I appreciate that he, you know, tried to get me out of my shell, which I feel like I'm cured. I feel like I'm cured because if you didn't know, I have not a fear of traveling. It's a fear of traveling by myself. It's by myself. I can't do it. Or at least I thought I couldn't. It's because I don't trust myself to navigate the waters of just uncharted waters within the world. That's why I stay in my bubble here in Saugus, Massachusetts. It takes a lot for me to be able to get outside that bubble, AKA my boss basically threatening me. So that's why I was there. And I tried to make the best of it. I really did. Yeah, I think that I'm better off for having gone to that series, but at the same time, it fucking sucked to just sit there and watch your team get their nuts stomped in.
That's gotta be the worst. You make the trip out there and then to see it go like that, especially game two, because game one, you could have had that. But game two, man, that was nothing was going their way and Kluber was on. Nothing was good about that game.
Yeah. Plenty of opportunities in game one. I mean, you had Hanley Ramirez come up to the plate with a man on second and first base was open and Francona pitched to the fucking guy and he already had two doubles. I mean, there was one point where there was that situation with Hanley, but I forget who came up after. It might have been Bogarts, but the runner advanced to third base with two outs and Bogarts couldn't even get like a fucking dinky little hit to tie the game. Are we worried about Bogarts, by the way? Like,
absolutely. Oh, you're saying permanently. I don't know. I mean, right now, yes, but I don't think long-term I'm overly worried, but he looks lost, man. Well, just because I'm putting my chips in the pile that he's going to figure it out. I don't think this playoffs, but the kid's got too much talent and he's too intelligent to keep sucking like this. That's just a guess. That's a prediction. We make predictions. That's mine. But I didn't see this coming. I thought the kid was going to win the batting title. And obviously first half of the season, he was solid, but now you're looking at him. He looks completely lost. He's check swinging at stuff that's not miles from the strike zone. And he just doesn't look confident. You can see his body language is off. Everything is off right now. Yeah, at least in the field, he still looks pretty good, but yeah, I don't know, man. Xander, I'm worried about him.
Yeah, it's not very ideal.
Oh, one thing I want to mention because Hernandez was pinch running for Poppy. They made a big deal about Hernandez not going to third on that ball that bounced off the catcher when Hanley was waving him to go to third. I thought he would have been hosed if he did, right?
So Dave thought that the runner should have gone. This was Marco Hernandez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dave was adamant that Hernandez should have gone. Right off the bat, I was like, nope, stupid play. I didn't think that he should have gone. Dave, the next day, even after I think he watched the tape, was like, no, he definitely should have gone. What did you guys think? I didn't think that he
Ortiz should've. Was talking to him in the dugout, almost like, you know, consoling him, let him know, like, next time, buddy, you know, you might want to go. I don't know. I thought if he goes, he's dead. And then that's all we're talking about, how Marco Hernandez got thrown out at third. And that's why the Sox lost game one. So I don't think he should have. Hanley kind of sold it a little too much by big time waving him over there. So that's probably why Dave was so confident. But I don't know. I mean, that was just one mini part in a game that had many missed opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. And so back to the question of does this rainout help the Red Sox more or does it help the Indians more? I thought or think that it helps the Red Sox more, but there are pros and cons to that. The downside to this extra day is that that's another day of rest for Big Dick Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, who threw a combined 80 pitches in game one. 80 pitches. And that was the thing that killed me the most about Price in game two is that the fact that he let the the lead get that far away from the Red Sox so that the Indians didn't even have to think about using Miller and Allen again. I mean, if you give up a home run to whoever the fuck that was, Lonnie Chisenhall or some shit, right?
So first homer off a lefty all year.
Yeah, and he's had 8 home runs all year. I mean, not a home run hitter at all. He hit a rocket into the right field corner. If he had just given up a solo home run, because I will say this, David Price gave up a 3-run home run there, but it was like a dinky ass single. It was a bunch of dinky ass hits that he gave up to make it a 3-run home run, which was the bulk of the damage there. If it had just been a solo home run, we'd still be talking about how he gave up a bomb to a dude that doesn't hit home runs. But you're talking about a different management of that bullpen because they got to trot out fucking Joe Schmo against the Red Sox because it was 6-0 instead of maybe thinking about bringing in Miller, maybe thinking about bringing in Allen. Those guys were fucking picking their ass in the bullpen all day because they knew that they weren't going to be needed.
I mean, we talk about this all the time with Price about, you know, it was a bloop here and it was, you know, dinky hit there. Having said all that, like, you got to shut the door. When you get in those situations, first and third, one out, and I hate to bring up the money. Everyone goes back to the money. I don't care about the money he's making. I care about what I've seen out of David Price in the past. He's been a horse in the past that gets out of those jams and isn't making excuses afterwards like, it's a bloop here, it's a bloop there. He wasn't saying that, but all the fans were. So you just got to get out of that situation. You can't give up a home run there. Very simple. You cannot give up a 3-run homer. I know getting in that situation was cheap with the bloopers, but you just got to shut it down. Shut the door.
So I know it's a little soon to be thinking about game 5. You got to win game 3. You got to win game 4. Easier said than done. What is your confidence level in David Price taking the mound in game 5?
It is not high. It
is
not.
What's your confidence level to getting to a game 5? At this
point. No, so you're saying more hypothetically, if we get there, what's
well, I'm saying, what's your confidence level getting to a game 5 right now? Because mine's not very high.
Low, 100%. Low.
They perform at Fenway Park. Let's see what they look like. Let's see what they look like when we get there.
You know what I'm most worried about? Down 4-3 in the 6th inning, you're kind of fucked. Andrew Miller could throw the longest outing of his life. Monday.
Because I mean, if they clinch the series in 3 games, then they can potentially throw Andrew Miller for like 4 fucking innings.
Yeah,
and he can just rest until the ALCS.
You could just end that thing 6, 7, 8, 9. So yep. I'm most worried about that. And I know you brought it up with the rain, but that is the biggest part that impacts the Indians is that Miller got an extra day to rest. The dude is like, there are certain guys in the Red Sox. Poppy is at the top of the list that just can't hit him. David Ortiz can't hit Andrew Miller.
Not many people can.
No, I know, but I think him specifically, when he comes up, I'm like, well, shit, just look at how the pitches come in on Poppy. He'd have to guess where it's going to land.
He's a good guesser, though.
No, I know.
All I'm saying is they need to jump all over Tomlin because Andrew Miller, it's like, you know, you think about that 0-4 series against Rivera. Yeah, you were thinking like, we need to get a lead before the 9th inning because if we don't, we're not coming back against Mariano Rivera, which they did. But you're also not thinking like, it's basically Mariano Rivera, a four-headed fucking monster, because Andrew Miller can pitch multiple innings. Like, never, I can't remember in a postseason series before having this, you know, secret weapon in the bullpen looming that could hurt you so early in the game and for such an extended period of time in the game. It's just, and it's weird that, I mean, it's not weird. I mean, it's obviously working, but Andrew Miller wasn't that guy with the Yankees. He was just their closer. He would come out and close games. And the same thing with, you know, Baltimore and Boston, just one inning at a time. And that's how he kind of made himself into a household name as a reliever, was the one inning at a time guy. And then he gets traded to Cleveland. And now he's this fucking 4-inning, 3-inning guy that can just, it's, you know, he removes sections of the game. He just comes in. He's like, all right, these next 3 innings aren't even going to happen because I'm pitching now. You might as well just fucking get up, grab a beer and come back in a half an hour when I'm done.
When he came in the 5th, I was like, well, might as well go to the bathroom now. Like, you know that he's going to be getting at least 2 innings there. That's what I'm scared of the most. If he gets like three, if he comes in the seventh, he could ride that puppy home and like yeah. that. And he would be on the fucking mound when they're popping bottles. That's my nightmare. I'm going to have a nightmare about that tonight.
Also wanted to mention this Toronto Texas series. How disappointing has this matchup been? What the hell? I mean,
what the fuck's going on with this?
Somebody punched somebody. What the fuck, man? Like I was jacked up for this rematch of the division series last year with the Batista bat flip and the fights. And then you go into this year and Odor punches Batista in the face and then the stars align and they meet each other again in the postseason. And nothing has happened. It's just been a Toronto dick stomping. It's 3-2 right now in the third inning, I believe it is. Sanchez is on the mound, just gave up a home run to, I believe, Elvis Andrus. But where has the action been in this series? It's just been lights out, all Toronto. And this was the matchup that I wanted to see, Boston, Toronto. I think that those are the two best teams in the American League. It's you know, backs against the wall for the Red Sox right now, which I'm not panicking because they've been here before. It's a different group, different rosters. So you can't say they have been here before, but we as Red Sox fans have seen this team come back from down 0-2. It's a short series. Things can change very quickly, especially now that the scenery is changing. You're going back to Fenway Park. It's not the loud ass Cleveland, you know, progressive field environment, which, by the way, shout out to Cleveland Indian fans because they brought it. They were loud. The one thing that I didn't like about that stadium is that they had a hype man.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Which Feidelberg shit on him. Like he like tweeted something and then he came over and like met us.
He's like, hey, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
You got something to say?
But he was wicked
go
nice.
Indians. Go Tribe. You got something to say?
He was very nice, but it was hilarious that
I saw that. He took a picture of him on the big screen. Like, look at this fucking guy. And then yeah. 2 seconds later, he has a selfie with him. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he came up from behind us and was like, hey, guy, what's going on? And I was like,
Hey, Jared, say what's up.
Hey, say hey, Pete. very nice guy. Good. But they did have the big board basically instructing fans on when to cheer and when to get loud.
That's like basketball. That has no place in baseball.
Anytime there was like two strikes, they would play the get loud or make some noise. And it's like, dude, if you're a baseball fan and you don't know when the appropriate times are to make noise,
get out.
Are you really even a baseball fan? I don't know. Here we are. We're down 0-2. We've broken down games 1 and 2. We're going into game 3 on Monday after a rainout. Yes or no, does the change of scenery, does Fenway Park make a difference whatsoever? Because I go back to 2009, which is honestly like the forgotten season. Like I can't tell you one thing that happened during that season other than they got swept to the Angels at Fenway Park. And that was it. Like, there was no moments in that season that stick out to me as like, yeah, that was a team that got into the playoffs. And, you know, like, yeah, I remember that moment, it was just nothing.
That series absolutely drove me nuts because I had gotten tickets for game 4 for my dad's 60th birthday. And we were going to be coming back the night before. And that game 3 was awful. That was a terrible loss. Papelbon blew it.
Yep.
I think who was it? Ibar had like a big hit and like
fucking
Chon Figgins, dumbest name ever. And that series absolutely sucked. So I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, are we with the mentality the team has right now? We're closer to that series, right? Than we are, you know, the Indians in 99 and the A's in 03. We're probably closer to that 09 series the way things are going right now.
My confidence level is not very high heading into tomorrow.
So you think that they're going to get swept?
I think that there's a good chance that they get swept.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
PD predictions over here. Oh,
Peter.
You think the Red Sox are going to get swept with Claytrol on the mound?
The fucking Tribe?
The fucking Clavia? Pete.
Mm-hmm. Baseball, hey, baseball, hey.
Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox are winning this fucking game. Okay? They're going to win game three. And then you got Pretty Ricky in game four. And then after Pretty Ricky, you got the return of David Price, who wants to redeem himself after an embarrassing loss in game two. And you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me that you don't like the odds of the Red Sox winning three games in a row? I call bullshit. I call bullshit on that, Pete. That's the only thing I got to say to you.
All right. Well, honestly, like, this is why I hate this time of the year, because it's whatever you think is going to happen is probably not going to happen. Steve, what do you think? What is this game? Is this series going five games? Yes or no?
Gun to my head.
Gun to your head.
Yes, it's going five games. Clay Buchholz is going to pitch the game of his fucking life. I'm going to shave my head. Rick Porcello, not only is he going to throw a no-hitter, he's going to throw a perfect game and then point right at Tito's face and say, that was for your mom. Then we're going to go back to Cleveland, all right? We're going to go back to Cleveland. Davey Price, he's going to throw a perfect game. Back-to-back perfect games. Davey Price points at Mike Napoli, goes, that was for your fucking siblings. And then we're going to have a champagne celebration. No, I think gun to my head, I think the Sox win in five with ease. I think they take these games and we forget about the first two games. They're going to be so good in these next three, Pete, that we're going to forget they even lost the first two.
All right, he's got one more thing.
Just let me say one thing right now.
All right, let him get it up.
If there's one thing that Toronto Blue Jays fans love more than anything in the world, it's pop flies that are about 20 feet in front of the fucking warning track.
Let's go.
They love them. They go nuts for them. They love the fly balls that are about 20 feet in front of the warning track. They go crazy for them. They love them.
By the way, can we talk about that fan that fucking threw a beer at
Kim? Like, what the hell? I remember that happening, watching that live, just being like, did he just throw a beer at him?
Threw a beer, and then
we were talking about this at work, that we feel like that's one of those things where the second that beer left his hand, he's like, what have I done? What have I done? That I'm three rows away. That is 100% going to land on the field. There's no way that clips the wall and comes back. That's landing right by him. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in a game.
The craziest part about that story was the fact that the person didn't get caught.
It's a writer. Is that not the guy?
I guess not. I mean, the police put out a picture of a guy and they were identified as an award-winning journalist, but apparently this guy is going with the cup excuse. He said, what's on the field was a beer can. I have a cup. And then he went to the tape and he's holding the cup. Why, if you were a fan, would you have a beer can and a beer cup? You wouldn't.
When you, I saw what you wrote there about this incident, and it's like, how you have an entire state. Remember, Bartman, obviously that's different because you're like, no, actually, is it different? No, it's not different because Bartman was right in the spotlight and this guy was right in the spotlight too.
No, Bartman is a lot different just because Bartman's intentions were so much better than this guy's intentions. Like, this person just fucking wanted to smoke the outfield with a beer so that he'd drop the catch.
No, I more mean in terms of eyes that are on you in the center of the moment. I guess the difference with Bartman is you obviously touched the ball, whereas this guy distanced himself from the beer by throwing the beer. It's not like he threw a beer and he's in the front row and he was trying to catch a home run. But
by the way,
How does that guy get out of there?
If the picture that they put out wasn't the actual guy who threw the beer, that guy needs to work on looking less guilty, because that guy is the most guilty looking motherfucker that I've ever seen.
Did you read the story about it?
No.
So there was a story, I think it was like the Metro put out a story, and they interviewed people who work with the guy in the photo. And they said that there was like an unnamed source within the office that the second that the photo got released, he sprinted out of the office.
And he deleted his Twitter. He had a photo posted right there. I mean,
that's a weird move if you're innocent. Why do you delete your Twitter? Why do you sprint out of your place of work? Like, what's your fucking plan there?
And he had posted a photo from right there, from right in that spot.
Right.
It's this guy. It's this guy.
It could be. I don't think anybody's debating that that guy was there. Like, that picture is of him. I think he's just saying that it wasn't him who threw the beer.
I mean, the cup to beer can defense makes a lot of sense for me. It really does. If you go to a game, you don't.
What's your other option? Because it certainly looks like him in the video throwing the can.
No, the video looks like the woman threw it.
The video is very hard to figure out.
The one that I saw, one of them looks like a woman throws it. The other one looks like the dude kind of like frisbee throws it.
So maybe it was somebody else's beer.
Yeah.
Like that I'm just laughing.
Or maybe he just had fucking two beers or something. Or maybe they gave him a plastic cup and a beer can.
I'm just laughing, thinking about what went through this person's head the second that beer left the hand. Like, what was the first words? Like, oh, shit. That thing's out.
The scariest part about that is that I could imagine myself doing that. Like, I could just imagine, like, getting a couple, like, too many beers in me. And like a playoff game, just too excited. Everybody's fucking amped. There's a fly ball. There's so much excitement all around me, and I just lose control of my body and throw a beer as hard as I can towards the field.
Also, what a waste of beer! That thing was full. That probably is at least like $9-$10.
Yeah, I guess that's what I could convince myself is that I would never throw a beer away. I would never dump a beer, especially when it's like $10 an ounce.
They also announced that they're no longer selling beer cans there.
Yeah, only cups now.
Only cups.
Well, welcome to the fucking 21st century, Toronto.
By the way, it's 5-2 Toronto in the third. This one's over. So
sweep city.
The Rangers are getting swept, which means that the Blue Jays are going to be nice and rested.
Wait, so that means Red Sox, Blue Jays, right? And the ALCS?
Yeah.
All right.
They're going to be nice and rested. The Red Sox, I would honestly...
The Red Sox would have swept the Blue Jays. Would have swept the Rangers if they got matched with the Rangers.
Well, they're going to sweep the Blue Jays.
I hope so.
If you're a fan, right, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the team that's rested, or would you rather have the team that won three in a row to come back and you have all the momentum going into the ALCS?
Well, the momentum.
I think you want to be the team that wins three in a row.
Always do. Track record shows that you know, has a good chance of then getting you to the next level. World Series.
I mean, sweeping is fantastic, wonderful, but you don't want to go like a week straight without playing.
Yeah,
playing
especially, games. I mean, we saw it happen with the Rockies in 07.
Like, you have fucking momentum. Like, if both teams sweep, that's what you want to have happen to come out of the first round. But you don't want to be the team that sweeps and the other series goes five games and you have to wait a week.
Right. The Rockies got peed on in 2007 because they swept the NLCS and then they had to wait.
What did they have, like 2 weeks where they didn't play a game?
Yeah. They had to wait for Big Dick Beckett to come in and punch out 13 dudes in game one. And it was over from there. It was done. It was donezo.
That's honestly like 90% of the MLB playoffs is what team is fucking hot at the right time. And if you get hot, you want to stay hot. You don't want to have to wait between series.
Right. So I would say
the Red Sox have him right where they want him.
Now is a good time to get hot if you're the Boston Red Sox.
I hate to state the obvious, but isn't it clear, boys? Didn't they intentionally lose these two games so that they can win three in a row and then fucking steamroll the Jays? It's pretty obvious.
It's pretty. They're just setting the Blue Jays up for failure. This is the long play going in here. This is strategy, baby.
That's that next level thinking, Johnny Farrell. Let's fucking have it.
Let's fucking have it, Johnny.
This, let's fucking have it is gaining too much steam for this to be a three and out.
I haven't tweeted it lately because it didn't do us much in the first two games.
If they make a strong run, let's fucking have it is going to be this fucking slogan of this team.
That's going to be on the rings.
Let's fucking have it.
Yep.
Yeah, underneath on the ring, there's always of the year.
If they go three and out, it's nothing. It's lost in history.
Pretty much.
Never to be heard from again.
Yeah, if the Sox lose, let's fucking have it is dead, which sucks. That's probably the worst part about this.
Yeah, you can't let that die. It's too good. It deserves more than three and out. It does. You can't just let it die. And the other thing that we haven't even mentioned one time, Rougned Odor just went deep. It's 5-3 Toronto Blue
Jays. Really good at dating the podcast. Continue.
Yeah, I love these live podcasts that come out hours.
I'm keeping all these games. These are all staying in.
The one thing that we haven't talked about yet at all is tomorrow could be David Ortiz's last game ever.
All right, so that's it for this week's show. Thanks for coming out.
I'll say thanks to our producer, Steve Peralt. You can check him out on Twitter at Steve_Peralt. You can follow the show on Twitter at Section10Pod. Follow Pete Blackburn at Pete, you guessed it, Blackburn. Hit me up on MySpace at myspace.com/Carabas13. The archive for the Section 10 podcast can be found at section10podcast.com, creatively named. Subscribe on iTunes and rate the show. I actually went back and I read some of the ratings, the reviews. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff in there.
We don't get enough of those.
We don't get enough. Yeah. Go ahead and actually write written reviews about the show. It's good. It's playoff time. It's October. Everyone in Boston, whether they are genuinely interested or just pretending to be interested, there's a good chance that the Red Sox are a topic of discussion that they might be interested in. So tell them about the Section 10 podcast, because now more than ever is the time to consume Red Sox content. And I would argue, it's probably more of a fact than an opinion, Section 10 podcast got to be the best Red Sox podcast in the game, right? For sure. I mean, is there a better one?
For sure.
There's no question. Section 10 podcast, dude.
And if you think there's a better one, I got some fucking news for you, pal. You can go fuck yourself.
You're also wrong, bitch.
You can check out our sponsor, Sox Signatures, at SoxSignatures.com. Use promo code Section10 to get 10% off your first order.
Smooth.
10%. That's what I said. 10% off your first order. Also, the SeatGeek app. You like tickets? You like games? You like watching games? You like going to games? You like concerts? You like going to them? Guess what?
You got ears that work?
SeatGeek app. You download it. You go into it. Section 10 is the promo code. You get a $20 rebate off your first purchase.
A nice Harriet Tubman right in your pocket.
Game 3. Go watch Claydro. Download the SeatGeek app. You put in the promo code Section 10. Guess what? $20 right back in your pocket.
Hey.
You go fuck yourself,
bitch. You dirty bitch.
So we got voicemails. I know we got voicemails. And I want to say this.
Oh, they're going to be great. They're going to be so positive.
You two don't know this yet, but there is a celebrity guest voicemail on the Section 10 podcast this week. Yeah, it's an A name in the Boston market. Left a voicemail, so you'll have to figure out which one. I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious when you hear the voicemail who it actually is. So that'll be interesting. Bruzo's got to be in there at least one time. So let's see. I mean, because I put the tweet out there. I wanted to know where Red Sox fans' heads are at. I want to know if it's doom and gloom. I want to know if you feel like they're going to get swept. I want to know if you're nervous and you think that it might go but five games, but you're not sure. Or I want to know if you're confident and you think that it's only a matter of time before the Red Sox meet the Blue Jays in the ALCS. I want to know. I want to know. We're going to find out because we're about to listen to your motherfucking voicemails right now.
Let's fucking have it.
Let's fucking have it.
Hey, Jared, Pete, and Steve. We're fucking down 0-2, but Claydro's going to save the motherfucking series. Gold bottles. I don't really know what else to say except he's going to throw a fucking perfect game in game 3 tomorrow. It's going to be fucking insane. Looking forward to hearing from you guys at some point. Gold bottles, bitch.
Hey, what's up, Carabas? It's Olak on the bus. Pray to God they don't get their ass swept tomorrow. You live another day with the rain. Clay, Buchholz. Pray to God they don't get swept or you'll never hear the end of it.
Hey, Jared, it's Beetle. Remember that time you asked me who Josh Tomlin was and I was like, I don't know who the hell Josh Tomlin is. And then you said, yeah, exactly. he'll be the third starter for the Indians. I hope like hell Josh Tomlin doesn't beat the Red Sox, because that would not only suck for all of us, that would really suck for you when you come in this week. So let's go Sox in game three.
What's up, Jared, Pete, and Steve? I think that, you know, the Sox are going to come out this game three. They're going to be fucking pumped because they had a fucking closed-door meeting, and Hanley's going to carry this team fucking 11 wins in a row, 2016 World Champions. I'm not worried one fucking bit. Go bottom, bitch.
Don't let us win game three, because you know we're taking game four. You bet your ass when to take game fucking five. So don't let us win this game. That's all I have to say. World Series, baby.
Don't let us win game three. Don't let us win today. Give Porcello in game four, Fenway, and anything can happen in game five. Never fucking forget. We're doing it again this year. Sox and six. So Poppy's retirement. We get him another ring. Section 10, keep up the good work. Love you guys.
Don't let the Sox win this game. Kevin Millar.
Hey, boys. This is Jack from Cumberland. Just got to say, love the show. Keep it up, but man, fuck this team. What happened to us? Our two best pitchers shit the bed. But you know what? We gotta keep the faith in Claydro in game three. And Pretty Ricky to bring on the win in game four. And Price needs to clean the shit stains out of his underwear for game five. And finally win us a fucking game in the playoffs. Let's go, boys. Keep up the good work.
What up, Jared, Pete, Steve? Marcus calling in the night before the Red Sox face elimination tomorrow. Down no game, two games to none. And their season is riding on the arm of Claydro fucking Bucina. Am I nervous? Nah, I'm not fucking nervous. Because the Red Sox are going to stop swinging that pitches in the dirt. They're going to start hitting some fucking bombs. Hanley Ramirez is going to shit on the Indians. And Claydro's going to throw a fucking gem. Indians haven't been shit. They weren't shit before. They ain't shit now. Sox in five games. Love you guys. Go Sox.
Okay. It's Claydro versus Josh Tomlin. My first point is, who the fuck is Josh Tomlin? Second off, as I play fantasy baseball, I'm one of the few retards who do, and I have no idea who Tomlin is. And I know Claydro was not on the waiver wire, so from that analysis alone, the Red Sox should come out victorious. Have a lovely night, fellas.
If you told me in May that the Red Sox's final shot of the season would be hanging on the arm of one Clay Buchholz, I probably would have chugged the bleach right then and there. But I'm sitting here, night before do or die, night before potentially the large five of his last game, and Claydro has me in Stockholm Syndrome. He's got me held captive, but I'm starting to fall in love with him. I'm trying to convince myself that this is going to work. And I hope I'm not outrageous or else. I mean, I might be drinking that Clorox cocktail. Go Sox. Please don't break my heart, Claydro.
Hey, Jared, Pete, and Steve. I saw you guys were recording an emergency podcast, and I just had to call in and give my 2 cents about the team being down 0-2. I'm sure a lot of these voicemails are going to be, oh, doom and gloom. But let me tell you, this team is fucking coming back and winning this series. David Ortiz is not going out like a little bitch. Hanley Ramirez is going to put this team on the back, and they are going to win, dance, and repeat all the way back to fucking Cleveland and on to the ALCS. All right, keep up the great work, guys.
What's going on, guys? Just watched 4 days in October. Just letting you guys know, we're going to take it. We're going to pull this reverse sweep off. We're going to go beat the Indians, beat the Blue Jays, go to the World Series, take on the Cubbies. No bullshit. We're going deep.
Fucking Sox in five. Clay Buchholz saves the day, and he's going to be the winning pitcher of Game 7 in the World Series. Sox in five against Cleveland. Then we're going to fucking sweep Toronto, and then we're going to have Game 7 against the Cubs at Fenway, and it's going to be fucking Sandy Leone that's going to hit a walk-off grand slam, and Lester's going to be pitching, and Theo Epstein's going to jump off the Green Monster to commit suicide. Go Sox.
All right. Ready? Ready?
Yeah.
Pete?
Yep.
Steve?
Yep.
Did you send the fucking invoice or no?
No, I definitely didn't.
Dick.
It is the home of your American lease. The fucking fuck you. Fuck Steve. Fuck Pete. I quit. I'm done. I'm off the show. Send your own fucking invoice. See ya. I'm just trying to get to know ya. Get a little closer. Maybe post up.
Let's not